So as Marta told you earlier, Mark Edwards and Andy and Zach aren't here today because they're at a conference. And so Zach has asked me to read a letter to you. And certainly Christian letters are not a new thing. As you know, Paul wrote many letters. He wrote a letter to the Corinthians, two letters to the Corinthians. He wrote a letter to the Ephesians. He wrote a letter to the Galatians. And this is going to be Zach's first letter to the Calvinians. And the scripture that underlies this letter is one of the Ten Commandments, the fifth. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. My dear brothers and sisters, God willing, I am currently flying west, returning home after a weekend in Pittsburgh. However, I did not want my absence to deprive us of the opportunity to be formed by the fifth commandment. It has much to show us about how we are to live. More importantly, it has much to show us about who God is. So, in one of the very oldest Christian traditions, I have written this letter. Hopefully, such letters will be few and far between, as I much prefer to be amongst you in person. Honor your father and mother. Digging beneath the surface, this command actually carries two separate commands, like notes in a musical chord. One note is for young children. The other note for relatively old children. Honor your father and mother calls young children to submission, but older children to compassion. One note of submission and one note of compassion. The first note, that of submission, applies to younger children. Young children are to honor their parents by submitting to their authority. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. In context, Paul is clearly speaking to children who are not yet grown. They are to obey. So, children, listen up. Obey your parents. If they tell you to do chores, do them. If they tell you to stop whining about doing chores, stop whining. If they have told you that when you get home from school, you need to do your chores before playing, don't wait to be asked again. You can tell this letter was written by a father of children. Listen to mom and dad and know that when you disobey, whether it's dragging your feet about laundry or swiping extra cookies from the cabinet or sneaking out after curfew, you aren't just breaking mom and dad's rules. You are sinning against God, even if you think you know better, especially if you think you know better. Conversely, parents and grandparents, aunts, uncles, great-grandparents, adult friends of young children, obedience is a virtue that needs to be learned and learned young. Discipline your children, often, not angrily or spitefully, but consistently and often. Do not worry that you are quashing their spirit or harming their development. In Scripture, being strong-willed is not a virtue. Obedience is a virtue. Teach your children to be virtuous. They need to learn to repent. They need to learn to honor authority. They need to learn because, contrary to popular belief and perhaps to our own instincts, authority is a good thing. God wrote authority into the very fabric of his good creation, setting the sun to rule over the day, the moon over the night, and humans to rule over the natural world. Now, authority, like all good things, can be twisted and abused, as we well know. But authority itself and honoring authority are good things to be used well. In the Ephesians passage quoted above, Paul continues, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers and mothers are to use their authority for the good of their children. Children are to practice obeying authority so that by the time they are adults, they are ready to obey authority without the threats of timeouts, groundings, spankings, and so on. We all, even adults, are to submit to authority, that of bosses, of spouses, of governments, and ultimately of God. The ability to submit to authority, not the ability to be independent, is essential to being fully human. So, God is good, and he is in authority, and he made authority a good thing. And from birth, we are to submit to authority. That submission is the first note in the chord." And I want to add my thoughts about child rearing before moving on. It's not that I'm authority, but I have some thoughts. Sometimes, in spite of all the love and the encouragement and training you provide your child, that child will go off the tracks. Many years ago, my oldest niece went off those tracks. It was an absolutely horrible time for our family. I think my sister spent more time fasting and praying than anything else. This young person was raised in a family, both immediate and extended, that provided everything we thought necessary to provide love and security. I tell you this because there will be a time in this church when this tragedy will occur to another family in our congregation, and your job will be to pray. Pray for both the young person and the parents, and show your love and compassion without judgment. The second note in the chord, the second command within the command, is the note of compassion. Remember that the Ten Commandments, including this one, were given to an adult community, most of whom had not been put in time out for quite a while. So what does it mean for adults to honor their mother and father? Fundamentally, it means that we take care of mom and dad when they can no longer take care of themselves. Jesus points this out when he condemns the Pharisees in Mark 7. "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother shall surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father and mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God, then you will no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition.'" The Pharisees were taking the money they would have used to care for aging parents and instead used it for missions or building churches or offering sacrifices, good religious stuff. And Jesus condemns them. Jesus insists that taking care of mom and dad is more important. In 1 Timothy 5, Paul uses even stronger language. "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In context, Paul is not talking about feeding kids. He was talking about taking care of mom. Honor your mother and father. Many of you know from long, hard experience just how hard this can be, how much honor it can take, and not just financially. There is the time. There is the loss of comfort or privacy, whether you're visiting a nursing home or just walking into what used to be the spare bedroom. There is the heartache that goes on and on of caring for someone who used to be strong enough to care for you, of seeing them so weak, or the heartache for caring for someone who never cared for you the way they should have, of trying to forgive them. This commandment has teeth. So why does God ask it of us? Because God is a God of compassion. Because God is a God who offers himself to people who have nothing to offer him, who respects the dignity of those who seem entirely undignified. And the only way we can know God's compassion, really know it, not just as an abstract idea, but as a life-giving reality, is to share in it. We must ourselves care for people who seem to have nothing to offer. The fifth commandment says that in God's eyes, there is greater dignity, greater worth in honoring, in dressing, in bathing, in spoon feeding, been there, in sorting through ancient magazine collections, in answering the same question you answered 5 minutes ago and 5 minutes before that, than there is in building a profitable company, or publishing a groundbreaking paper, or designing a more efficient process, or effecting political change, or any of the other legitimately good things to honor. To walk beside people as they face the long defeat of aging, to lend them honor they can no longer earn for themselves. That is to know the heart of our compassionate God. Janet's thoughts about taking care of an aging parent, from both personal experience and speaking with others that are or have done the same thing. It's hard. This parent is losing control of his or her life. The parent is now dependent on you for nearly everything, and being dependent is frightening. Remember, this person used to change your diapers, and now you are changing his or hers. Congregation, this is another opportunity to be praying for those who are dealing with aging parents. We usually put on our happy face when we come to church, but don't be fooled. Getting old and dying is hard work for everyone. Back to Zach. Enough about the command with its notes of submission and compassion. Let's talk about the promise. Exodus 20:12 says in full, Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That your days may be long in the land. That's eminently practical, natural consequences, so to speak. None of us are getting younger. If we manage to avoid car wrecks and unexpected medical crises, we are all going to need to be honored in our old age. It behooves us to participate now in a culture of honor. Now, this is Zach saying this. Someday when I am drinking through a straw and someone has to change my diaper, I'd rather my kids have seen me do it for my own parents, have a good model to go on. But that your days may be long in the land is not the whole promise. The whole promise reads that your days may be long in the land that your Lord your God is giving you. The land, of course, refers to Israel then, but it does not refer to Israel now. Now it refers not to the Jerusalem of David and Solomon, but to the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city, to our eternal home with God. The promise refers to an eternal home we will not enter because we have fully obeyed this commandment. After all, nobody here perfectly obeyed their parents as a child, much less perfectly honored their parents in old age. No, this promise is fulfilled not because we fulfilled the law, but because another fulfilled the law for us. Our Heavenly Father did not command this one and only perfect Son to do the dishes, or to eat his vegetables, or to be home by 11. Instead, he commanded Jesus to die. He sent Jesus to the cross, to shame and sorrow, to agony and torture, to loneliness beyond anything we can imagine. And Jesus obeyed. Jesus submitted. Jesus honored his Father. Jesus was our perfect submission to authority. Why? Why would he do such a thing? Why would the Father issue such an awful order, demand such brutal submission? Compassion. Father and Son together looked on us who had no dignity apart from the dignity they had given us, the dignity we had rejected in rebellion against their good authority, us who had nothing to offer. And Father and Son together chose the Calvary Road. They chose to have compassion on us, to honor us beyond our worth, to pay the cost for us. And now, by the grace of a compassionate God, we have the privilege of practicing the same submission and the same compassion Jesus showed so perfectly. Secure and free in the knowledge that because of Jesus, our days will indeed be long in the land the Lord our God is giving us. I look forward to a lifetime of practice with you and to an eternity of celebration with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, on the cross, God honored you. Will you not honor him? May the grace and peace of Jesus be with you now and always. Pastor Zach.